this year. But having to know that prayer is one of the four legs of the ministry here at the church. And in concluding this prayer series tonight, we have a handout. So if you're here tonight and you need a handout, you didn't get one when you came in, then it would be your benefit to raise your hand right now and an usher will get you this. I've got a lot of ground to cover in a short period of time tonight. Raise your hand if you need one, if you didn't get one. I know they do a great job getting this to you. But in case you don't have one, keep your hand up until they'll get you one. Amen. Thank you, ushers, so much tonight. I'm doing this to expedite what I'm teaching tonight because I want to share with you the value and the benefits of tongues as we have been talking about in closing this series, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and actually speaking in other tongues. And as you can see tonight's message, if you follow along, look at your list there, 10 benefits of tongues. And hopefully by learning this, then what this will do is only inspire its use in your life. And so in studying this in the last few weeks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first thing that we did was show that the Scriptures teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the same thing, is a separate or subsequent experience to salvation. It's important that you understand that. Amen. And then what we did is we showed this experience is the will of God for every believer. So it's the will of God for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. Praise God. And so Jesus said, actually, tongues. Turn with me. We'll look at this. We're going to go through a lot tonight, but you're going to be fast listeners. Praise God. And I've got you a handout to make it that much easier for you to take notes by. Praise God. Or at least get the Scriptures down, and you can go back and study those. Also, it's always important to take notes because as you learn, it's not only important for you to write what I say, but what is the Holy Spirit saying to you about what I'm saying? Praise God. Because the Spirit of God lives in you, and He is the teacher. Praise God. And yes, He will use the people that's teaching, but He will also speak to you about the things that are being taught. And so this is important. Notice in Mark chapter 16, something Jesus said in verse 17 about tongues. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name you'll cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus said this would be a supernatural sign that will follow the believer. And remember, this is a supernatural sign of the New Testament church because tongues and interpretation of tongues were the two gifts of the Holy Spirit that were distinctive to the New Testament church. All the other seven gifts of the Spirit you'll find as well in the Old Testament because the outpouring of the Holy Spirit only happened after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then those two gifts are distinctive to the New Testament. And Jesus said they, believers, would speak with new tongues. It's pretty clear right there. Praise God. And so it's important that we understand that. We also could say it like this. The Apostle Paul apparently practiced tongues very often because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Well, he spoke with tongues more than the whole church of Corinth. He prayed a lot in tongues because he had to write three chapters to teach them the value, the importance, the scope, and its uses of it there in 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. So he said, I speak with tongues more than you all. And he also, we found out this, he believed that the church should as well because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, he said this, therefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. So, you know, these numbers of scriptures just prove the point where a lot of times people that are unknowing about, they love God, they are brothers and sisters in Christ, but if they're not filled with the Holy Spirit and they don't have the Spirit-filled walk, they're missing out on what God said we should experience as part of the New Testament church. Amen. And so obviously it's God's will, for he said, and forbid not to speak with tongues when it comes to the church. So there was once, here's what we find out. Once we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to know the benefits of speaking in tongues. And in learning them, it would or should inspire its daily use and practice in our life. And this is why I wanted to end this very way. And I wanted you to have a handout because I believe it's important. I know many of you, these types of handouts and things that I do from time to time, I'll see you and you say, hey, I'm pulling this out and I've got this. And it was one of those teachings. They were designed for that very purpose, to keep in a place where you can refer to it. And this is a very important lesson tonight. So 10 benefits of tongues. Number one, you'll see there in your notes, supernatural praying. Now, notice as I begin to explain this tonight, I want you to know there's so much more that I could say. But because this is the last night on this series, I've chosen that I'm just going to go through it. I'm going to let you, there's many more scriptures that could go with a number of these, but we'll just hit the high spot and let you do your own personal study. Number one, supernatural praying. Tongues provide a divine, supernatural means of communicating with God. How many know we need that? Prayer, hallelujah, with our understanding is one of those ways, but also one of those ways is this supernatural means is speaking in other tongues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, we've looked at this verse many times. It said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. So the Spirit-filled believer in this basic tongue unto God, in this, as we talked about last night, it's a supernatural prayer language. You're talking to God. You're not talking to men. You're not talking to yourself. It's a divine, supernatural means to communicate with God. You say, well, why is that important? It must be. God gave it to us. And you're going to see 10 reasons why this is so important. Notice, you're not speaking to men when you're praying unto God in your prayer language. You're not speaking unto men or to yourself. You're speaking unto God. So tongues, in this sense, is a devotional gift, a supernatural prayer language given us by the Holy Spirit so that we can talk and pray to God in this supernatural means. Now, point two brings out why this is so important. Number two, praying God's will. How many know that praying God's will would be pretty important? How many know if you want your prayers answered, it's not a pie in the sky, it's praying God's will. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 5, you can write that down, verses 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know He hears what we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. You and I getting our prayers answered is contingent upon us praying the Word of God or the will of God and doing it in faith. And so, notice praying God's will. Tongues provides a means to pray out God's perfect will. As we continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, here it is. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God, for no man understands him. Look at this last part. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In other words, your spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, prays out mysteries or speaking mysteries unto God. This word mysteries means divine secrets. It means the plans and purposes of God. Amen. And so, in other words, you're praying mysteries, divine secrets, the secrets of the translation says the secret purposes of God. In other words, praying in tongues enables you to pray for the unknown. And the unknown that God wants you to pray for. Praise God. Let me give you a great example of this about praying the will of God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and verse 27, it says, likewise, or in the same way, the Spirit of God helps our infirmities, for we know not what we pray for as we ought. Now, let's stop here one moment. It didn't say we don't know what to pray for as believers, but it did say we don't know what to pray for as we ought. In other words, there's times in prayer that we simply, there's more to what we need to ask, know, and believe for asking God than what we are. We're limited by the knowledge that we know. Some of us know more, some of us know less. The more we know of the Word of God, the more we pray as we ought. But the good news is, you don't have to know everything, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit and yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of your spirit, who gives you unction, then you can pray for what you, as you should, about what you're praying. And it says, but the Spirit, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. These groanings are, we've talked, Pastor Debbie taught about this. I also spoke about this, but also let us know that P.C. Nelson, who was one of the greatest, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, one of the greatest linguists and Bible expositors as far as language goes, he says groanings that cannot be uttered has to include speaking with other tongues by those that being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now notice verse 27. This is powerful how these two go together. And here it is about praying the will of God. And he that searches the hearts. How many know the one that searches our hearts is God the Father? God the Father searches our heart and He knows what the mind of the Spirit is. In other words, when we yield ourselves and pray with the help of the Holy Ghost, the Father knows exactly what the Spirit is saying. We don't, the Father does. Because here's what the Spirit does. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So here again, once again, praying, yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues is praying in line with the perfect will of God. How many know you can't go wrong with that? How many know if you prayed in the perfect will of God like this? How many know if that's true? And it is, because the Bible is true. Romans chapter 3 verse 4 says, let God be found true and every man be found a liar. Amen. Here's what we need to know. If this is true, and it is, then how many know this is one reason why the devil would fight this so hard? To keep you and I from being filled with the Holy Spirit, and even if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, not praying and using it in it daily. Because he does not want you to pray the perfect will of God out. And another reason he doesn't like it is because he cannot get in on it. He doesn't understand it. Only the Father does. Or you, if God shows you that. So there's much more here that we could say about this, but for time's sake, number two, praying God's will. If nothing else, this proves the value of praying in other tongues. Let me give you an example. You could be praying about a circumstance or situation, and you could pray to the best of your ability in your known language. For me, that would be English. Praise God. And so when you come to the end of yourself, you could actually say, Father, I really don't know. I know there's more that needs to be prayed about this. So, Holy Ghost, help me to pray. I'm going to yield myself to you. Help me. Give me unction and utterance in the Holy Ghost. Help me to pray out the will of the Father. And then begin by faith to speak in other tongues. And then pray along those lines. And having to know that when you do, the Holy Ghost is helping you to pray out the will of God. There's so much more that we could say. We could spend a whole lesson on that. The point is, we're praying the will of God. That is a benefit of tongues and the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, spiritual edification. Here we go. Tongues provide spiritual building up or edification to the spirit of the believer. Remember, you are a spirit. You possess a soul. You live in a body. Your spirit is the part the Holy Ghost lives in. Your soul, your mind, your will, intellect, and emotion is different than your spirit. The Holy Ghost lives in your spirit. And when you pray, your spirit is charged up. In other words, it provides a mean of spiritual edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4 says it like this. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. This prayer language, in its simplest form, tongues unto God, is a means of supernatural edification. It's the means of you building yourself up on your most holy faith. This word edify means to build himself up. It actually is the picture of to charge like a battery. I taught that already. We spoke about that. But just in case, all of us know what a battery is. And a battery in a car, if it runs down, it can be jump started and it can get a charge from another battery. The Holy Spirit is the divine charger and energizer. And as you pray in tongues much, it can charge your own spirit. Amen. Build you up like a battery. I love what one author S. Wade's translation and a few others actually brings this up about edification. He that speaks an unknown tongue may be advancing his own spiritual progress. I taught this before. You actually have a means that you can advance your own spiritual progress. Happen to know that would be the upbuilding of yourself. Happen to know that would be important, that you have a means through prayer and praying in tongues to advance your own spiritual progress. Pretty powerful and pretty important. Can I get an amen? Jude 20, there's only one chapter. In Jude verse 20, it says, but beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Well, praying in the Holy Ghost is praying in other tongues. Amen. We know that. Amen. Because the scriptures teach that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 that we already looked at. And many others point this out, that praying in the Holy Ghost includes praying in other tongues. And notice he said, building yourself up, brethren, on your most holy faith. So praying in the Holy Ghost is a means of spiritual edification, spiritual upbuilding, but also a means where you stimulate your faith. You stimulate, it doesn't give you faith, but it stimulates the faith you have. It causes it to be stirred up, to be built up. Amen. You are built up spiritually and it stirs up your faith. How many know that that would be something that you need in your life? Because the world drains you. Come on. Your world drains you. And the Spirit of God was designed to charge you up, to build you up, to make you the champion that you are. And one means is by spiritual edification. There's so much in the world that depletes our spiritual energies. Mentally, many times people are so drained that they lose the awareness of their spiritual need is depleted. They're running on fumes because they have isolated the spirit at the expense of the soul. And how many know that if we're gonna be strong spiritually, yes, we do have to renew our mind, but we also are going to need to be built up spiritually. One way we can do that is through praying in other tongues. Number four, the Spirit's presence. Tongues helps us stay conscious of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. How many know this would be important? We need to be aware where He lives. Too many believers just see God in heaven somewhere. He is, and His Son is at His right hand. But the beautiful thing of the Spirit, about the Holy Spirit is the divine agent of God that's working in this dispensation, working with us upon the earth. Amen. Working with the believer, but living in the believer. Amen. One of the greatest compliments, I share this from time to time when it comes up in the Spirit of God, remind me, one of the best compliments that I ever received in my life was years ago, a lady who, her and her daughter started coming to the church. We were down in the other facility that we hadn't moved in here yet, and that they made the transition over here too. But she's in heaven now, this beautiful lady, and she had said to me, she grew up in a mainline denominational background, and she was a believer, loved God with all her heart. She came to this church, and she was under a physical attack. She started coming to the healing center, and then she got such help coming to there, she just decided this needs to be my church home. This is where I'm being fed at. And when on a Sunday, and coming both, just not Wednesday mornings, but on a Sunday service as well. So one of the compliments that she gave me was this. She says, "Pastor Chris, what I so like about your teaching is that you make God seem like He's right here. Like I know He's the God of the celestial heights and He's way off there somewhere, but you make Him seem like He's right here. And actually, I said He is, and He's right in you." And see, we have to be conscious, even though that the Bible does say, and He is in heaven, He comes to live. The Father and the Godhead lives in us because the Holy Spirit has come to make His home in us. And praying in tongues helps us to be conscious of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. Because if you understand that the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, and when you pray, I call it hooking your tongue up with your heart. It don't come from here. Tongues don't come from here. They ain't there, it's here with the help of the Holy Ghost. It makes you conscious of where that comes from, and you know the Spirit of God lives in you. Here's what Jesus said in John 14, 16 and 17. He said, John 14 and verse 16, "And I'll pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because it seeth them not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." By praying in tongues, your spirit will become more aware of and sensitive to the things of God. You will become inwardly aware of God, His presence, and the things of God. And how many know that's important? Because until you understand and have a working knowledge of the difference between spirit, soul, and body, you will be limited in your faith walk. I don't have time to teach that, but the truth is, you believe God with your heart, not with your head. Yes, what you think about is important. It's valuable. It's key, because it's the doorway to your spirit. But we must also understand there's a difference between your head and your heart. Amen. And as important as both are, you believe, you renew your mind so you can get the word in your heart. You let it go from, you know, this will date you. Now, you know, the drink machines you do all kind of stuff with, but I don't think you put coins in most of them anymore. Yeah. And but you know the difference when you at the old machines, everybody remember the old machines, you put the quarter in or the change in, you could hear sometimes when it got stuck, it didn't drop. You could hear when it hit the can in the bottom. And if it didn't do that, you hit the thing to release the money so you get your money back, because you won't get no drink unless it went down. How many know unless what you got in your head gets to your heart, you're going like this because ain't nothing happening. Come on. You're not getting what you're asking for. You can hit the button on the machine, but if the coins don't go to the bottom, you ain't paid for it. And so that this makes us aware of where we believe God at in our hearts. And this is important that we understand, that helps us to be conscious of God living in us. And it just makes us so more aware of Him and where He is. And that's so important in our life. Amen. So praying in tongues, when you really understand that, you're aware that He's in you. This ain't coming from your head. This ain't something you make up. This is something that's coming out of your heart, and that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. Number five, magnify God. Tongues is a mean by which we can magnify God. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and 46. Write that down. Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and 46. We'll look at this together. We know that this is when Cornelius and his household got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, "And they of the circumcision," that's talking about the Jews, "which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles," that was Cornelius' household, "also was poured out on the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, how do we know that the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out upon them? Next verse tells us, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Now notice they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So this is the point that I'm making. Tongues is a means by which we can magnify God. How many know that would be important? As far as God is concerned, God can't be no bigger. But as far as you're concerned, God can be bigger. And tongues is a means by which God becomes more real, you become more aware of, He becomes more real, and becomes bigger and greater in you. And through tongues, you can actually, it's a means of magnifying God, building God, and speaking about God in the best and highest way. We talked about some of that last week, as that's tongues unto men. But this is a means at which you can magnify God in. Amen. Number six, worship God. You say, you're going pretty fast, Pastor Chris. I always do, but tonight I really am. Praise the Lord. But we got 10 points and we're doing pretty good. Y'all are quick listeners. Amen. Worship God. Number six, tongues aid in our worship of God. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Isn't that be good? This is wonderful. And so let's look at what the scriptures teach about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. It says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. Praying with the Spirit is praying in tongues. Praying with the understanding is praying in your known language. But notice what it also says, I will sing with the Spirit and I also will sing with my understanding also. So notice, just like we can pray in tongues and pray in English to God, we can likewise and we should sing in the Spirit and sing with our understanding. Tonight it was easy. We sang with our understanding. But in your own private worship time and even times in services, there are times that you'll hear people and we will sing with this in the Spirit. Tongues aid in our worship of God. And it's important that we understand that. So just like we pray to God, we should also sing to in the Spirit. We pray to God in the Spirit. We should also sing to God in the Spirit. Beautiful. And you should get used to doing that. It's a means that aids us in our worship to God. We also see this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Here it says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You want to know what the will of the Lord is? One of it is right here. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine as in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is what he's talking about, what understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, being filled with the Spirit has to include speaking in other tongues, since number one, it's the initial evidence of being filled. Maybe not the only evidence, but the initial. We know that praying in tongues would include there, but be filled with the Spirit. Now notice what the very next word says. Speaking to yourselves. Speaking when, how many know when you pray in tongues, you are speaking to yourself. You're speaking, what I mean by, you're speaking to God about the mysteries. You're speaking, and you can sing to God about this, but it says even speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody into your heart unto God. Now, psalms are like a spiritual ode unto God. There's Brother Hagin taught us that we should, just like the book of Psalms is written, there's actually five books, not just one book. There are five books in the Hebrew. Amen. And they were given as their prayer and praise books. Amen. So the Jewish people prayed and sang praises. It was the hymnal in one sense to be able to speak songs and spiritual odes unto God. Why was that important? Because by doing that, you would build yourself up. Amen. Same way that we build ourselves up by speaking unto ourselves or to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. How many know that if we prayed in tongues that way, it would have the same effect? It would have the same effect. It would have the same effect. It's important that we understand that. So it aids us in our worship of God. Number seven, giving of thanks. Now this goes closely together. You'll see how it ties together. Tongues provides a way to give thanks well. Amen. To give thanks well. You say, well, praise God. I'm like, you know, there's times that we just want to thank God for all that He's done. But I can tell you, when you pray in the Spirit or you worship in the Spirit, you may leave a place sometimes when you pray in your own language and you praise in your own language. There was something your spirit tells you there's more. You just didn't get to where God wanted you to, maybe in worship and thanksgiving. But if you get over in the Spirit and start singing and praying in other tongues this way, praise God, you'll give thanks well enough. In other words, it's even a higher form that God receives. Now, let's read in 1 Corinthians about this, chapter 14 and verse 14 through 17. Now, this talks about a couple things, but let's get to where it's going. It says, "For I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 15, it says, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will also pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also." So we've talked about this. It goes on and says in verse, "Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say it?" Let me explain that. What that saying is, you and I said this last week, you and I can pray, praise God and worship God in other tongues. But we are being edified and we are worshiping God, but the people around us are getting no benefit from that. We're the ones that benefited by that. So where it says, "He that occupies the room of the unlearned, how can they say amen at the giving of thanks?" So what I gave the example last week was, you could go to the table and you could, with believers around you, you could bless the food and then you could pray in other tongues. And even though those believers didn't know what you were saying, they know because you were praying in tongues, you were blessing it well enough. And they could say amen. But how many know if a person was ignorant of or just didn't understand about tongues, that would not be the place that you would bless your food in tongues. Because they occupy the room of the unlearned, they're not going to say amen. They think you're crazy. Remember, I gave the example is that Pastor Debbie and I were just at a class reunion, and they asked me to bless the food. Well, how many know that would have been not the opportunity for me to bless it in tongues? Because they would think I would be crazy, and I would be. I would be out of line. People say, "Well, they just need to hear it." No, they don't. The Scripture teaches us that if they don't understand it, it would do more detriment than good. And that would be an abuse of it. Doesn't mean that tongues is wrong. It means your use and application of it was wrong. It was in the wrong place. But if you were nothing but a bunch of believers and we were all spirit-filled, and I blessed it and I said, "Lord, thank you for blessing this food and blessing my brothers and sisters," and I went off in tongues for a few moments on that, no one would be offended by that. They would say, "Wow," because if they understand the Scriptures, it says in the next verse, verse 17, it says, "For thou verily givest thanks well," but notice the other is not edified. The other people that are unlearned to tongues are not edified, but you are giving thanks very well. Hallelujah. So this is why I say in point number 7, the giving of thanks. Tongues provide a way to give thanks well. Tongues provide the most perfect way to give thanks, especially when you're by yourselves. Praise God. It go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, 18, and 19. We read, let's read verse 20, add to it. Let's go to verse 20 and add to what we've already read. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That goes back to what it said in verse 17, that be not unwise about what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice one way we can do it is by praying in other tongues. Giving thanks always for all things. This is in other words, you could lift up your hands, You by yourself. God's done something great for you. Say, God, I just want you to know I love you. I worship you. Thank you for answering my prayers. Thanking you for what you did for me. Thank you for helping me today. And then you could just start singing or worshiping or speaking in tongues unto him. I'm just going to worship you in tongues right now. You're giving thanks? Well, God says he's teaching us in the scripture, this is a scriptural means of using your prayer language. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Number 8, spiritual refreshing. Tongues gives us spiritual refreshing. How many know we need spiritual refreshing? This goes closely with the edification, the third use, spiritual edification. This goes closely with it. But notice, tongues gives us spiritual refreshing. Let me show you how they closely related, but yet differently. In Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12, this is prophesied that this would happen. How many know Isaiah is the Old Testament prophet? He's prophesying about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's prophesying about speaking in other tongues. Matter of fact, Paul quotes this portion of Scripture in Corinthians. He quotes this very part right here in explaining the importance of tongues, its use, its scope, and its purpose, one of which is for spiritual refreshing. It says, for stammering lips and another tongue will he or God speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest. Everybody say rest. The rest where which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Everybody say refreshing. Yet they would not hear. And so notice here, he talked about, and then when we go over to the book of Corinthians where this is quoted at, Paul makes the emphasis that it brings spiritual rest and spiritual refreshing by praying in other tongues. How many know we need spiritual refreshing? Spiritual edification, upbuilding, refreshing, as well as spiritual rest. How many know when people that walk by faith enter into rest? Enter into rest. You're no longer struggling or striving, hoping, wishing, trying to obtain. There's a certain amount of rest, spiritual rest in faith, and praying in tongues helps the weary to rest. It is a refreshing. In other words, it's a charging, a upbuilding, a refreshing. It is something that we need. Praise God. Now, the last two points are on another side, but very important for us to understand. Number 9, controlling your mouth. How many know? Everybody say, ow. How many know controlling your mouth may be important? Praying in tongues brings your tongue under godly subjection. When I say godly subjection unto your spirit, amen, and the Holy Spirit who lives in your spirit. So, in other words, in James chapter 3, verse 8, you could turn there. Notice what it says about the tongue. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The Bible calls the tongue an unruly evil and a deadly poison. It says no man can tame it. Only when you put it under subjection of the Holy Spirit, that it gives you through your spirit, amen, you are bringing your tongue under subjection to your spirit and the Holy Spirit that lives in you, are you going to be saved? Because the Bible, it warns us that our tongue is an unruly evil. So how many know that just a lot of talking, you can't avoid sin? But you can pray in tongues all day and pray the will of God and build yourself up, and you can avoid this deadly poison that your tongue could cause you to walk in. Proverbs 6 gives us a warning in verse 16. It says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are abomination to him. We'll skip to them and go to the last one in verse 19. It says, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among his brethren. Having to know that has to do with your tongue, unruly evil, a deadly poison. The bottom line is this, church, that you have the potential to do more damage and more sinning with your tongue than you do any other member of your body. And this just simply means this: if you can keep your tongue under control, then you can the rest of your body. If your tongue is wild, your body's going to be wild. But if you can keep your control of your tongue and bring it under subjection to your spirit and the Holy Spirit, then you're going to have a means by which you're going to bring your body under as well. And the very first part of your body that needs to be brought under is your mouth. Praise God. So this is important for us to understand. Tongues helps this. And one reason is because you can't pray in tongues and not be more conscious of God. We need to be more God conscious than anything else. Come on. We live in a world that wants us to be conscious of everything else. All of our needs, all the things ain't going right, all things we got to do, our punch list, we all got them. Come on. But we need to be more conscious of God, and tongues helps that. And helps us to realize that He lives in us, and when we are conscious that He lives in us, when a person comes up to us and says something wrong, if we're conscious of God in us, it's going to help us not to respond the wrong way. And we're not going to return evil for evil, but blessing for cursing. The person that can bless the person that curses them or walks away from it is strong spiritually. And they're conscious of who lives in them, and they're fortified in their spirit to the degree where which they're not letting the wrong come out of their tongue. They'll be silent like Jesus was before His shearers. He opened not His mouth, neither did He commit sin, it said, with His tongue. And for us as believers, this helps us to control our mouth. And having to know, God would sure appreciate we do that. Number 10. Everybody say number 10. Wake up your neighbor and say he's about to finish. Praise God. Number 10, protection from corruption. Now this goes closely with this, but let me explain what I mean here. Protection from corruption. Praying in tongues protects you from the contamination of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 28. Let me explain to you an application of this. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak unto himself, unto God. This is talking about speaking in tongues right here. Now, those the part that I want us to understand here. It says, let him speak to himself and unto God. When in application, now, of course, in what this is talking about is if someone gives a tongue unto the church, which I explained the third kind of tongue last week. That would make more sense if you heard last week's message, but there are three kinds of tongues. The tongues unto the church must have a interpretation in order for the church to be what? Edified. And that's the purpose of it. So it says, if someone could speak in tongues, but there's no interpreter, then it would be better that that person just speak to themselves and unto God. Okay? That's what it's saying here. However, also in application, you can do this to protect yourself from worldly contamination. What do you mean? Speak to yourself and unto God. Praying to God, listen, quietly under your breath or in your heart, when you're surrounded by the culture of the world and worldly people, worldly talk and worldly actions causes you to be strong in the midst of corruption. So let me give you an example of this. Many times, you know, Pastor Deb and I, we're at the hospital, often visiting the different stuff. I can see us walking across the parking lot. I can tell you, Pastor Debbie, she's going to open her mouth. She says, I plead the blood. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to plead the blood. In other words, would you tell him the devil, I am redeemed from all those demons that are trying to attack people and will try to attack me. Praise the Lord. So Not only will you plead the blood, here's what you start doing. Quietly, when we're walking across the parking lot, I hear praying under her breath in tongues. Why? Because you're building yourself up. You're keeping yourself from worldly contamination. Here's a good place that you could do that at. You're at work. You can't control every situation. You certainly can't control others, but you're supposed to control yourself. So people are telling jokes. People are telling off-color stuff, telling stuff that is inappropriate for Christians. Now that you've learned, you're born again, and you know, those types of things are things that you're to avoid. And even people cursing, you say, you know what, you know, I don't want to be around all that. But there's times that you can't help being around that because you're working. So what you can do to keep that from getting into your heart and your mind, you can just quietly pray there to yourself. Praying in tongues is a way. You could quote the word, but praying in tongues under your breath or quietly to yourself keeps you from worldly contamination. You're not letting that in you. You by doing that, you're building yourself up, but you're keeping yourself focused on God and not the wrong that they're saying. There are times that you can't help being around people that do that, and you can't dismiss yourself. If you can dismiss yourself, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But still, even then, it would do you good as you walk away. Praise God. Just pray quietly in other tongues. People are ungodly in the world. Listen, dogs bark because they're dogs. Cats meow because they cats. Sinners sin because they sin. Many times people sin, talk, curse like a sailor, they don't even know that that's wrong or not unnormal because they've done it so long. They've done it so long. That's just part of their vocabulary, just like yours is. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Let's go to church. Praise God. Amen. So that is repulsive to you. So one way to protect yourself from that is by praying quietly under tongues. Now, you don't speak that out loud and run everybody off. That's not what I'm saying. You pray it quietly to yourself. Matter of fact, if there was not somebody that was around Pastor Debbie and I, it was people around Pastor Debbie and I, you're not going to say pray it loud enough that somebody else can hear it. I hear it. Or she hears it. Praise the Lord. But somebody could come up and be talking a bunch of garbage, or not even a bunch of garbage. They could be giving you a bad report, and you just quietly sitting there and say, okay, all right. And you're just praying quietly in other tongues right to yourself. Praise the Lord. That's coming in my ear, but not getting in my heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I hope this has helped you tonight. This hasn't hurt you. Praise God. So what is the point? Come on, Betsy, help me. Thank you. What's the point? Well, the point is, if you understand these 10 benefits, it's wonderful if it was one or two, even three. But just think, God gave us in the Scripture at least 10 scriptural benefits of praying in other tongues. I trust that this would inspire anyone that's not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're saved, but not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're on the way to heaven. They love God with all their heart, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Understanding this helped me want to be filled. I didn't even have to know all 10 of them. I just knew that was God. When I heard it in 1986 when we got saved, when I heard tongues, I had always heard growing up that was of the devil. You heard me tell the story many times, but, you know, I understood, even though I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, that I was born of the Spirit, I understood by the Spirit that lived in me, that was the Holy Ghost and that was more of God. Those people had something I wanted, and I want that. I want Him. I want the gifts that He gives. And when I found out what the Word began to taught me, that inspired me to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then once we're filled, see, here's the thing I want. Leaving here tonight, there's so many, the majority of the people in this room have been filled with the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues. But do you pray daily in other tongues? And by knowing what the benefits are, it's my hope is that this would inspire the use of it daily. Because what you don't use don't help you. It's what you do with what you know that helps you. And the good news is, see, the devil try to talk you out of it. He says, oh, you don't even know what you're saying, so how does it make a difference? He will try to talk you because he can't get in on it. He can't understand it. And he knows you're praying the will of God for your life. He's going to make up every lie, make every excuse for you to not pray in the Spirit. Well, you know, people think you're weird. And they already think you're weird. Come on, get over yourself. If they, the moment they found out that you came here, they think that. Oh, you go to that church. You know, but here's what I find. That really, when people, see, people say a lot of things by hearsay, second and third hand information. They say things. I had a person one day at a golf course said something to me, and I just looked at the man, and I said, and I know he had never been here. I was witnessing to him about Jesus Christ. I didn't just come up to him and just say, hey, do you know Jesus? I hardly ever do that without an open door. But he was there and I was there. We were close to each other. We began to talk. And I understood I found out who he was. And I knew there was common ground. See, I try to find common ground. Well, number one, we play golf. Okay, big deal. But in talking to him, I just let him know. I said, I understand that you knew my uncle. They were both Marines together, and they were in Vietnam. And so it was an open door for me to begin to talk to him. He says, and in talking to him, he says, yeah, I know who you are. Okay. Well, he said it about the way I just said it. So in other words, he understood who I did. And so he gets off on this tithing thing. You know, and he says, well, you know, I know y'all require that people that go to your church, you have to see that W-2. And you know what I told him? I told him just as kind as I could. But at that moment, I won't pray in other tongues. I said, sir, I don't mind telling you, that is a bald-faced lie. I said, I've been going to that church since 1986, and not one, that pastor, any pastor, including myself, have ever asked that. That's a lie that you heard in the community. And you never been, you never set foot, but you may want to come sometime because Jesus does love you. Amen. Then I gave him my testimony and I went on. And then he was still there when I got ready to leave, so I walked on by. I engaged him about golf for one more time. And then I said, just want you to know that God loves you. And have a good day. I don't know if I've ever seen him since. Hope he's still alive. Because unless he's done something with Jesus, then it isn't too good. So why did I say all that? I said all that because in the world that we live, we need to have an answer for the hope that lies within us. And for the things that oppose the gospel and all the things that the devil would do to try to slow us down, to keep us, to be engaged in the things that God has for us and for all that God really, the more in the truth of what God has for us. He will keep you away from where you really need it the most. But I'm saying Cornerstone Fellowship Church is bursting at the seams. The Spirit of God is drawing parents, children, and teens. Because there's a lost world that needs Jesus Christ. And there's believers that need to be filled and on fire for God. We're not the only place and we're not the only filling station. But I can tell you, amen, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's stand to our feet tonight. So we said all this, that we would want people that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, use the benefits that are here, that this would inspire the use of it. I pray that it has tonight as we close. Father, we thank you tonight as we leave this place. May your word set a fire, not only answer questions, but set a fire. May this page that we have been given tonight be referred to often by those that have received it and heard its teaching, and use it for their advancement in the faith, so that they are truly strong in you and the power of your might. Lord, we love you and we thank you for doing these things, for being patient with us, loving us, and for giving us these wonderful gifts. And Father, tonight, before we leave, I'm inviting people that have never been filled with the Holy Spirit.